Today is May 2nd, 2007. My name is Beth Carmichael, and I'm at the home of Dolores Reed in Encinitas, California, to conduct an oral history interview for the Betty H. Carter Women Veterans Historical Project at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. Thank you so much for talking with me today, Mrs. Reed. If you could give me your full name, we'll use that as a test of our tape recorder.
Dolores Muir, M-A-U-R-E-R, Reed.
Mrs. Reed, I'd like to start by talking a little bit about your background. Can you tell me when and where you were born and about your family and childhood?
I was born in St. Louis in 1918 during the flu epidemic. And with my nine lives, that's the first one that was caught. But I grew up and lived a regular. This, of course, was during the Depression. And but I managed, my dad paid a dollar to let me fly in an aircraft. And I was 6 years old. And I had a hard time. They put me in the back seat of a Stinson, and I could hardly look out the glass window there. But I was only 6 years old. And then, of course, Lindbergh flew the Atlantic in 1928, and I was 10 years old. And I really had the flying bug at that time.
Mm-hmm. What did your parents do?
My mother was a housewife. My dad was a printer.
Mm-hmm. And did the Depression have a big impact on his work?
It certainly did. He was the only one working of all of our friends. Very, very hard time.
What about the rest of your family? Do you have brothers and sisters?
I had three sisters. And I have one still living in Florida, in Minnesota. But the other two have passed away.
And did you grow up in St. Louis and go to high school there as well?
Yes, until, until of course, I went to the WASP. But that was after I had to have 35 hours flying time. And it was difficult getting the $8 for a flying lesson in those days. So I had to do many jobs.
So you started flying when you were in high school, or was it after you graduated?
16. And I, at that time, I was dancing a lot with, you know, kids do dance. And I became attached to agent. And then I started doing some modeling. And I was a job dog starlet on a bus promoting a movie or something like that. Odd jobs like that. So then later on, I needed money for $8 for flying lessons, so I became a beautician. And then, of course, I opened a dance studio. And then prior to going into the WASP, I worked 11 to 7 at night, the third job, maybe. No, it was difficult, but I made it. Mm-hmm.
Did you think about going to college, or you just knew that you wanted to fly?
I couldn't. My folks couldn't afford it, and nothing. That pressure time, that was pretty rough. Mm-hmm. No, I didn't go to college.
Where were you, and what were you doing when you first heard about Pearl Harbor?
It was on a Sunday. And I was driving out to Webster Groves to visit a friend, girlfriend, and on the way, here came Pearl Harbor. And of course, the whole country was devastated at the time. And then, of course, that was a turnover there. The boys went immediately. I was engaged, and my fiance went off January. This, of course, happened in December, so that was pretty fast.
And what branch did he serve in?
He served in the regular or children.
Mm-hmm. When did you first hear about the wasp?
Well, I had an instructor. My instructor was a woman, Belle Shore, and she soloed me. And of course, after 8 hours, I soloed, and then she went off to the West, which was the Women's Air Herring Squadron. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, well, everything goes right, I'll be joining you. Well, you know, she left and I got another instructor, and that's how the WAFs became the WAFs.
How much flying time did you have before you joined?
35 hours. You had that, 35 hours.
And so can you tell me a little bit about that process of joining?
Well, I got my 35 hours, and then the lady came through St. Louis for an interview. And of course, I went with three other friends. And I was sent the notice about 2.5 months later.
And when was that?
That was 1943. Uh-huh. Went to Sweetwater to Avenger Field, August of 1943, and I graduated February 44. W1 was my class.
What did your parents think about your flying and about you joining the WASP?
Well, my mother was very excited, and my dad nearly fainted. He thought if we were meant to fly, we should have wings. But anyway, my mother was very eager. She thought that was great. And then when I soloed, oh my gosh, my dad couldn't speak for a day. But but he got over it.
Well, tell me a little bit about training at Avenger Field.
It was difficult. It was hard. And since I had not gone to college, it was twice as hard. Mm-hmm. There were many girls there with masters. And the man teaching math said, if you have a master's, it's going to be pretty easy. If you just have a degree, but then if you don't have that, it's going to be tough. Mm-hmm. And there I sat. But anyway, I made it through. We had 4 hours of ground school, and then four, like in the morning, and then 4 hours flying, like in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And that in between time, we did physical, it's called straddle hop, and swimming, and running, and different things. And then, of course, we have meals. Mm-hmm. And we, at the end of the 6 months training, and at the end, we took a solo cross country. And
what was that like?
Well, we thought that we were going to graduate next week, and it was a cinch. Yeah, all we had to do was find California and Texas. But, and of course, we were not allowed to buzz. The buzzing is coming down and scaring the cattle and the whole thing. And a week before graduation, we were all caught buzzing. And supposedly washed out. But the whole class, they couldn't wash out the whole class. So one of our classmates was the daughter of general who was coming to make the speech at the graduation. And then, of course, she had to graduate, so we got it. But anyway, it was just fun. You know, let yourself have some fun. So 48 of us graduated, and most of them have passed away.
Are there any particular incidents or people that stand out for you from your training?
This one that lived in North Carolina. She was the officer of the day, and I came home after a party and having fun with all my roommates, you know, and she said, "Dolores, keep quiet or I'll give you a demerit." And I said, "Oh, go ahead, give me 10 demerits." And she did, and I was up for insubordination. And anyway, I was confined to 6 weeks on the post.
And what did that mean?
That meant I couldn't go away on weekends off the post, but I did. And I went on 5 weekends, I went off the post, and I always had somebody, an emergency, they'd call me in town. The fifth week, I was officer of the day, so I had to be off the post. I think that was the most, other than that, I was very good.
What did you all do for social life and for fun?
We'd go into Sweetwater, which it wasn't too much in the first place, but we'd gather and we'd listen to the big band records, have a hamburger, go to a movie, and then go back to the base.
What was Sweetwater like during the time?
The town? Very dull. It had a hotel and a drive-in store where you could bought the shoes, and wasn't one. Now, of course, Sweetwater is booming like crazy. They want a museum there. They want all these. We're too old to go back, but they're boosting a museum now.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. So, how was your graduation?
Well, it was fine. It was on my birthday in February 1944. We had new uniforms. That was the first year of the uniforms.
Can you describe the uniforms?
Well, there's a picture in there.
Well, why don't we take a look at those afterwards?
All right. Yeah, the uniforms were Jacqueline Cochran. You know, she's pretty fashionable. Who's that the big place in Chicago, big store? Anyway, they came over and measured every girl, and we had the blue color that what our, we were like guinea pigs. So we had these nice uniforms and a beret cap, and was it Marshall Fields?
Marshall Fields.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we had two sets of uniforms, summer and winter. And after that, the whole Air Force took our color, Santiago Blue. So now the whole Air Force, we were kind of guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm. Did you all like the uniform?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. We had flying. We had slacks and Eisenhower jacket and a little kind of a baseball cap. That was for flying. And for dress, we had a beautiful trench coat. I still have it.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Did they have anything for off-duty dress?
The one to fly in.
Oh, okay.
It was not off-duty. If you were going out, you wore the uniform.
Oh, okay. So you had to wear your uniform wherever you went?
If it was dress. Mm-hmm. If it was not, then with our slacks and our battle jacket, we had a blue, I forget the name of the blue, but it was like the men wore. a blue shirt and black tie. Mm-hmm.
Did you have much interaction with people in Sweetwater?
No. I was very much concerned about graduating. Except once in a while we have a party.
Mm-hmm. Well, what did you do after your graduation? Where were you sent?
I was sent to Moorefield, Mission, Texas, as a tow pilot for a gunnery. And flew 4 hours a day, and alternating afternoon, morning. And I went there with two of my classmates. The one was killed.
Oh, no.
I can tell you about that one, if you want me to.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, this particular day, we were sitting in the mess hall, and this young man said, "I would like one of you girls to fly with me." And I said, "Okay." When the afternoon or the morning that I was free. So, okay, I was going to go up that next afternoon, and that morning our schedule was changed. And instead of me flying with that young man, she went. The wing came off and she was killed.
Oh my goodness.
And I was towing targets. I was working towing targets, and when I landed, I couldn't eat dinner. I went to up to my room, and here came the chaplain. Came up the street and he says, "Muir, I just came to give you the last rites." I said, "Oh, well, sorry, but I'm not." But anyway, she was killed, and we got a new wasp to join.
Mm-hmm. Now, I had read that since the wasps were not actually part of the military, that when something like that happened, other wasps came together to do things for the family or to help?
Well, actually, they would, in our case, they put her in a casket and took her down to the railroad station, called up Mr. and Mrs. Keene and said, "Your daughter's coming tomorrow." That's it.
Oh, my goodness.
Since there were only two of us, well, at that time, there was three. But we were missing a tow target pilot, and so we couldn't join the one going home.
Right.
So she had to go. So Mr. and Mrs. Keene went down to the railroad station, picked up the one of them.
Can you tell me a little bit about your work towing targets?
Oh, yeah. Well, we had to tow a target about 25 feet long and about 5 to 6 feet high, and it was made like chain link. And I'd sit in the plane, and then there was a GI who had put the target in the plane, and then up we'd go, and we had a stretch of road to fly. So the squadron, six of they were all officers just about to go overseas to combat, and this was to, you know, get their gunnery practice. Anyway, we'd designate a place, and I'd be towing the target back and forth, and then here came the six planes, you know, and then after they were finished, then I would go over an auxiliary field, drop the target, land, and the crew chief would pick it up and roll it back into the other. And there was one time there were some Turkish pilots there, and there was a little lost in the language, and they were like, and I just closed my eyes. I thought, oh my gosh. But it worked out.
Were you ever afraid doing this?
No.
No?
Never. Never. I was afraid to fly with anybody else after that happened to my platform. Mm-hmm. But you never know how they fly.
Right. How long were you at Moorfield?
I was there, I guess, till February till about August. And then I was sent to B-26 up in Kingman, Arizona. And by that time I had I was no longer engaged. And Ben, who was squadron commander for my squad, we alternated, was Bob Reid, and I married him. So anyway, he was over at Randolph, and I was sent to San Marcos. I became an administrative pilot in Twin Beach. And that's, you know what that is, that's like taking generals that can't fly anymore. And I had to go up to Chicago to some officers up there landed and broke the landing gear hose. And I had to go up because they were going to combat the next day. I had to go and fly a plane so they could get back to the field, and I stayed with the crippled plane. That was exciting because I was coming, the place was closed, the snow was this high. The airport was closed, and coming in for a landing, the tower said, whatever my number was, pick up and go around. You have TWA on fire in the back. So anyway, I landed and they took the plane, and I had the crippled one. I had a crew chief with me that had a hose that fixed it, and so worked out fine.
So then did you fly that plane back?
I flew the plane that had the new hose put on it. The things, you know, that was our job. No. Things that, like when I went to Moorfield, and one of the pilots, tow target pilots, said, "Oh, I'm so glad you're here. That's the most boring job in the world." And I thought, "Well, I'm," and he went off to combat. And I thought, "Well, I did do something good for the war."
Mm-hmm. So when you left Moorfield and you went to B-26 training?
No, I didn't do that. It was changed. B-26 was at Kingman. And we were, I was at San Marcos, and my fiance was at Randolph Field, and so we thought that was really good.
What was your job at San Marcos? Were you still towing targets?
No, administrative.
Oh, that was when
That was when I was in the Twins.
Okay. And can you tell me a little bit more about that and what you did?
Administrative? Yeah. Well, for one of our WAS was in Georgia or North Carolina or one of the southern places. And it crashed. They were flying navigators around and had trouble with the plane, and so the navigators got out with a parachute, and the pilot and the co-pilot crashed on the trees. So I was sent to North Carolina or wherever it was, and to pick up the girl out of the hospital now, and to take her back to the field. And so we got as far as New Orleans and got stuck there for a week because of a hurricane, which was very nice.
A week in New Orleans.
A week in New Orleans. Every morning we'd call up and they'd say, "You can't go today because of the weather." We just, okay. And we'd be running out of clean shirts. we were using the soiled one. In those days, it wasn't nylon, it was cotton.
Mm-hmm.
And, that turned out to be. And then, as I said, I went up to Chicago to get these two guys to combat. And it was four guys to combat. And took a general to some meeting of some kind. Just things like that.
So your main job was?
The taxi.
Right, basically to transport people and fly wherever they needed you to go and bring planes or bring people back.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And how long did you stay there?
That was from up till the time of the activation, which was December 15th, 20 like that.
How did you all hear about that?
The activation, well, they said, get ready to leave. And, of course, we were not in the Air Force at that time. We were just civil servants.
Mm-hmm.
So we were a little bit ticked off to dump us just like that. Of course, the airlines didn't want pilots. They wanted us to be ticket people. We said, no, absolutely. Anyway, we went home. 2 weeks later, I was married to my... He was then up in Chicago at the university there for teaching something. And so we got married in St. Louis, lived happily until 34 years ago, you know.
What was the most memorable thing about your service in the WASP?
Getting my wing. And not washing out. They didn't give you second, third, and fourth chance. You went out for a check ride and got a pink slip. You got a check ride with an Army Air Force pilot. And if he said no, you were out that evening. It wasn't, you had 3 days to pack. You just had to. And out came the cot. You can see some of those pictures. The cot was pulled on the porch, and they said, uh-oh, there goes another one.
Mm-hmm. And that happened a lot, didn't it?
Well, there's a 52 out of our cot.
We're washed out.
We're washed out.
What did you think about President and Eleanor Roosevelt during the war?
Loved him. Eleanor was just peachy. She spoke well, and of course Franklin, when Pearl Harbor came along, that blew us all away, didn't you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then he got the people together. At that time, women were riveting, doing all kinds of things. And all the men were practically all wrong. And it was a tough time. And he got us through. I loved her. She was not a beauty queen, but she certainly spoke well.
So after the WASP disbanded, you were married in early 1945?
44. Got married January, got home in December.
Mm-hmm.
And January 21st, we were married.
And what did you do then?
Well, we went off to Texas, Austin, Texas. He was going to go to the university to become an architect, which he did. And, of course, I was pregnant with my first baby. So we got $104 a month, something like that. And he worked at night drawing plans. And then we bought an airplane. last $1,200 we ever had, and my husband said, but that's the last money we have. And I said, he said, that's the only money we have. And I said, if that's the last $1,200 that we're ever going to have, we're in bad shape. So we bought an airplane. And then after my baby was born, 2 weeks later, I went out to fly. Well, it was a Navy plane, and I took it off, and all the instruments were up. So I flew it around, and it landed it without anything but feel. Don't you know? They call it the seat of your pants. Anyway, I got out of that plane, and I said, I am not going to fly until my youngest child is old enough to take care of himself. So I had two more children. I didn't fly for 22 years. And then I thought, well, okay. So I started air racing.
Really?
Uh-huh. So I started that, and it was fun. And I have several trophies, but about 8 years ago, I flew the last race. I won it, and I quit.
It's a good way to finish up. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit more about air racing and what that
is? Oh, yeah. Well, this one is certainly not as powerful planes as we flew faster and stronger planes in the Air Force. These are Cessnas and the smaller plane. And so I flew for a long time with friends of mine. She owned a big flying school, so we'd always fly in one of her dinky airplanes. It always came in 7th or 15th or something like that. So the last race, I insisted on one of the better airplanes, and by golly, we won. And I said, oh, okay, that's enough of that. I've done that now. I flew up in a balloon, and I did some hang gliding, and I flew the airship, you know, med life or whatever it is, mm-hmm. with the big wheel. Flew it for 15 minutes, and I'm grounded. I sold my airplane 5 years ago, and okay, that's it. I'm limping around on one leg now.
Mm-hmm. What was your favorite plane to fly?
P-40, the AT-6. Mm-hmm. That's the one that we trained in. Mm-hmm. It's a Oh, then the Twin Beach was 750 horsepower. I like that. It was, it was nice. Mm-hmm.
What was the hardest thing that you had to do physically while you were in the WASP?
Chinning myself.
Chinning?
Mm-hmm. Well, like, we had to take.
Like pull-ups?
Pull-ups, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it worked out.
What about emotionally?
Oh, emotionally, we'd get up, we'd have, reveille at 6 and off to the mess hall and eating breakfast. You didn't know whether you're going to be there that night for dinner. Mm-hmm. And it was a stress.
So that was something that you were really always thinking about.
We're thinking about it, absolutely. It was in your mind all the time.
For a full 6 months?
For a full 6 months. Because you could get washed out for flying, mostly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember my first flight with a check pilot, Air Force. He was noted for washing out. Why they called him Washing Maytag? Because he was up washing with me. So I really thought, boy, I thought I was Amelia Earhart. You know, I thought, all right. So after a week the primary, which is a low-wing 180 horsepower, whatever it was. And took that up, and I thought, boy, my mother said, Dolores, I know you can fly. I said, she never flew with a ring, but she, because I would think of flying all the time. And so anyway, he took me up, and he said, do a chandelle. You know, I used to sit for other pilots on the field if they were going to get their commercial, that I would carry the weight that the check pilot would be. So, and so they would do the chandelles and the lazy eights and everything, and I kind of knew. He wasn't supposed to check me on that, but he said, do a chandelle, and I said, well, I do, and whatever. Okay, I thought, gee, I'm just the greatest pilot. And I got down and I said, well, how did I do? He said, you're not going to kill yourself. So that's about the best he could do, but he didn't. Yeah, I passed.
How did most of the Czech pilots respond to the WASP and female pilots?
Well, they were very nice, and they did everything they could. You're talking about instructors, mm-hmm. or the Czech pilots, the Air Force pilots were, they were not too happy to be, for what they did, they were put to a girls' school there, and they didn't think that was that great, but they were fair. Mm-hmm. They sure washed out a lot of them.
Did you ever have any problems with male pilots? You didn't think women should be flying?
No. Yeah. I never did. It was at Moore Field, the officers were going off to combat. They were all very nice. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any heroes or heroines during this time? Particular people you admired?
Well, I admired Jacqueline Cochran for what she did.
Did you ever get to meet her?
Oh, yes. I got a picture in there where she's hugging me. And
what was she like?
What is she? She grew up in the South, barefoot, picking cotton, and brought herself up to being a scrub girl in a beauty shop, and they sent her so she became a beauty person, like me. Mm-hmm. And then she started in Chicago with her oils and things like that, and that's how she met Floyd Odlin, the richest man in the world. But she was real great person. Had us out at her place in Palm Springs and had us for lunch, and she was there cutting the cheese. And, great kid. Great guy. I really admired, I'm not too sure, I admired Amelia Earhart as much as Hoffman. But, the heroines, I can't say that there were not heroines in our class, school.
Mm-hmm. Do you consider yourself a pioneer for having entered the service and for being
breaking,
a pilot?
Breaking the, what they call the ceiling of the women.
Right.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I've been to Air Academy in Denver, and we have a statue there. We were there about a year and a half ago for the ceremony. Every one of those women, and the people, and the women who have graduated and now flying F-18s in Iraq, have come up to us at Ray Aliens and said, we appreciate the breakthrough that you did, because mm-hmm. we didn't fly jet, F-18s, but we were pioneers.
Mm-hmm. Did you feel that way at the time?
No. I was just glad to get paid for flying.
What was it about flying that you liked so much?
Well, as I said, when I was 6 years old, I went up, landed, and I couldn't even look out when I grow up. And then when Lindbergh hit, impressed me.
Mm-hmm.
And I read every book in the library about flying. I actually knew how to fly some of the entrance instruments that they had at that time, just by rock reading.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I don't have any more formal questions. Is there anything that we didn't talk about that you would like to add? Any other stories or people that were important?
I have three children, five grandchildren, and I just recently got a great grandson.
That's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. And my son went to Embry-Riddle. He's a private pilot. One of my sons.
That's great.
And my husband was a very good pilot, natural. And that was a very happy marriage. I've been a widow 34 years. Keep going.
Great. Well, thank you so much for talking with
mm-hmm.
me.
Well,
I really appreciate
welcome.
It.
Do you have any more questions?
No, I think we've covered it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
Mm-hmm.